Are you discontented with your life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
I heard a definition of discontentment. I thought it was really good. It says this: it's a combination of sadness, frustration, irritation, and disappointment with your current situation in life. God has not saved us to live in the land of if only. He's not come into our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit so that we can constantly wish we had something else in life to make us happy. He wants us to be content right here, right now.
He can heal every scar.
Most people have thought or said, I would be happy and content if only I had fill in the blank. Does that sound like you? If so, then consider this question. Is it possible for you to learn to be content regardless of your current or future circumstances? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, where today he begins the sixth message in the seven-lesson series, The Land of the Giants. Dealing with your biggest problems. It's a practical and inspiring teaching today that'll help you discover how to find satisfaction in life by finding satisfaction in the Lord and defeating the giant of if only. And that's the title of today's lesson. Now, if you're facing that discontentment giant, but you can't be here for the entire message, which will be aired today and tomorrow, you can catch up online anytime at fromhisheart.org. Once the program has aired. But let's get started. Open your copy of God's Word to Philippians chapter 4. Here's Pastor Jeff to describe the only real way to defeat the giant of if only.
Today we want to talk about the giant of if only. You say, what is the giant of if only? Well, it's the giant that is kind of a subtle giant, a seductive giant. It's out there, but sometimes we don't really recognize it like we do anger or like we do lust or something like that. But this is the giant that says, you know, the way things are in your life right now, they're just not very good. If only you had this, if only you had that, if only you had this other thing. You know, Madison Avenue and advertisements, they thrive on telling you that you need more than what you have. That the reason you're not satisfied in life is because you need something else. If only you had this new car, if only you had this thing or that thing. And this if only starts early in life. You're a kid and you think to yourself, if only I had a new bike. Then you're the kid with a bike and you say, well, if only I had a car. Then you're the guy with the new car and you say, well, if only I had a date. Then you get a date. The guy with the date says, if only I had a college degree. The guy with a college degree says, well, if only I had a good job. The guy with a good job says, well, if only I had more money. The guy with money says, if only I had a beautiful wife. The guy with a beautiful wife said, well, if only we had children. A couple with children say, if only our children were in school. A couple with kids in school say, if only our children could finish school, get a job, and move out. A couple with kids move out say, if only our children would come home. I mean, it's just always coming at us. We're never satisfied with what we have. We live in the land of if only. So what is it for you? If you were to fill out and complete the sentence, if only I had blank, then I would be happy and content. For lots of people, it's money. If I only had money, more money, then I would be content. I heard about a man, he was begging on the street corner. And he was saying this, if only I had $100, I would be happy. Just $100, if only I had $100, I'd be happy. A man walked by and heard him, and he said to him, if you had $100, if only you had $100, you'd be happy? And he said, yes. And he said, all right. He gave him a $100 bill, and he walked off. And the guy was sitting there holding his $100 bill, and he said, if only I'd asked for $200. I mean, that's the way we are. We're just never satisfied with what we have. See, the giant of if only is the giant of discontentment. We're not content with where we are. I heard a definition of discontentment. I thought it was really good. It says this: it's a combination of sadness, frustration, irritation, and disappointment with your current situation in life. God has not saved us to live in the land of if only. He's not come into our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit so that we can constantly wish we had something else in life to make us happy. He wants us to be content right here, right now. The Apostle Paul said he learned the secret of contentment. He wrote the book of Philippians when he was incarcerated in Rome, about 61 AD. He was chained 24/7 to a Roman guard. He was deprived of every comfort. He couldn't come and go, couldn't do what he wanted to do. He was just chained there for 2 full years, chained to a Roman guard. And he writes the book of Philippians, the place where he founded a church on the second missionary journey in about 51 AD. And he writes to this group of people, and he expresses his joy. You know, Philippians is the book of joy, 4 chapters. And in 4 chapters, 16 times we run into the word joy or rejoice or rejoiced. Philippians focuses in on the theme of joy. And you say, well, how did Paul have joy when he's incarcerated? How would you have joy if you're chained to a Roman guard 24/7? Paul learned the secret of contentment. He learned how to turn his prison into a palace. And what he learned, he's sharing with us today. And what he learned, we can learn. It says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." They gave Paul a gift of some kind of monetary gift, or maybe it was clothing, or maybe it was food. It was something that helped him. And they hadn't done that in many, many years, but they did now. And he wasn't chastising him for it. He was just saying, hey, you didn't have opportunity before, but now you have opportunity and you have revived your concern for me. And I'm grateful for that. And then he says in verse 11, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul learned the secret of contentment. Now, this is what's so important about that. He didn't get this knowledge through some supernatural gift. I mean, it's not like, well, Paul can be content in whatever circumstances because God gave him this gift to be able to do that. No, he says that he learned it. And if he learned it, then you can learn it and I can learn it. So what is the secret of contentment regardless of the circumstances? I want to share with you 3 insights into this secret. Insight number 1, recognize that God is over every circumstance. How can you be content regardless of the circumstance? Well, recognize that God is over every circumstance in your life. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, speaking of God, he says he's the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The blessed, blessed is the word makarios, it means happy. God is the happy and only king, only sovereign, only one in control. That is God. And Paul knew that God is over everything. And because he knew that God was over everything, even when he was incarcerated in Rome, chained to a Roman guard 24/7, he could rejoice and he could have joy because he knew God was over it all. See, you remember this, nothing comes into your life unless God allows it. We talk about the Lord being the blessed and only sovereign, that he's King of kings and Lord of lords, that he's in control of all things. Now, the sovereign is in control of all things. Oh, that means that there's nothing that slips past him. There's nothing that will come into your life or my life unless God allows it to come. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 in the Good News Bible. Jesus said this, "For only a penny you can buy two sparrows, yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's consent." The cheapest of birds, God has an eye on those birds. And they can't fall to the ground. They can't fall to the ground in death unless God gives his consent of that. I mean, that shows how God is over all things, because a little cheap sparrow, he says when they die, he's over that. Now, God allows things to happen. Don't get the idea that God causes all things to happen. You read in the book of Job, the things that happened to Job, and you say, well, God caused that. No, he didn't. If you read what happened to Job, the devil wanted to get at Job, and the devil said to God, I can't get at him. Why? Because you've blessed him, and you've built a hedge around him. And so God said, all right, I'll let down the hedge, and I'll let you get at him, only you cannot mess with his life. You remember that story? If not, you can read it in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. God had to let Satan get at Job. God had to let down the hedge so the devil could get at Job. So did God cause it? No. Did God allow it? Yes. The sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your Father's consent. So remember this when you're going through difficulty and trials and problems and the circumstances are bad. Maybe they're bad in your health. Maybe they're bad in your marriage. Maybe they're bad in your business. Maybe they're bad in your social life. Just bad circumstances. God is over all of that. And nothing comes into your life or my life until it first filters through God's fingers of love. Because God is love. And nothing comes into your life or my life unless God wants to use it. So he's over it all. He lets things come into our lives. He lets the devil, he puts down the hedge, so to speak. He lets the devil come and attack us. But he has a purpose in that. God doesn't waste. He never wastes a trial. He never wastes a tear. He never wastes a period of tribulation. God is using all of those things to teach us and to grow us. You know, Paul, he had many trials and many difficulties in his life. One of the things that the Lord gave him, allowed, he calls it a messenger of Satan that was given to him, was a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, this thorn in the flesh, but whatever it was severe. And when he says he has this thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians, he's not talking about like a thorn on a rose bush. He's talking about a thorn that was a stake that you would impale someone on. And he said, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And I mean, Paul knew how to pray. And so Paul was praying, God, take this from me, take this from me, take this from me. And the Lord's answer to him was, Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's enough for you. For my power is perfected in your weakness. Paul said, really? Is that what this is for? Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. For I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. And Paul saw that thorn in the flesh in a whole different way, that God's grace was sufficient for him. And God had allowed this to come into his life, not to wreck him, not to ruin him, not to cripple him, but so that God could be glorified in him. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, interesting little verse, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Now, that's a command from God that we're supposed to do. Now, trials aren't really joyful. Nobody gets excited about trial. Oh, I got this big trial. Isn't it wonderful? I am just so just rejoicing in this trial. We're not like that. And God knows we're not like that. Paul wasn't like that. James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. The word consider is an accounting term. It means to take something and put it in the asset column. Consider this trial, put it in the asset column. Why? Because the testing of your faith produces endurance. And even though you don't like this, you need to consider it all joy because it's an opportunity for God to work. It's an opportunity for you to trust God. It's an opportunity for the Lord to shine through you and to teach you new things. Hey, how do I learn this thing called contentment, regardless of the circumstances? First insight into the secret, recognize that God is over every circumstance. Second insight, realize what you can experience in Jesus Christ. Paul said that he, in verse 11 in the Good News Bible, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have more than enough. I have learned this secret so that anywhere, at any time, I am content. Whether I am full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Learn to be content in those difficult times. Learn to be content incarcerated in Rome. None of us would want that. And Paul, if you had asked him, Paul, do you want this? I mean, you can stay here or you can leave. He would have said, well, I'd like to leave. But even here, I have learned how to turn my prison into a palace because I have learned the secret of being content. I am content. Very interesting word, that word content. It's only used here in the Bible and all the New Testament. It literally means I am self-contained or I am self-sufficient. When Paul says I am content, he's saying I'm self-contained, I'm self-sufficient. Now, he's not talking about in himself in terms of in Paul. He's talking about the one who lives in him. I am self-sufficient, I am self-contained because Jesus Christ lives in me. And I have a party everywhere I go. Why? Because Jesus Christ lives in me. And in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand there is pleasure forevermore. Paul knew what he had in Jesus. Do you know, as a believer, what you have in Jesus? Now, this isn't true for everybody. This is only true for those who really know Christ. But for those who really know Christ, Jesus lives inside you. Jesus lives inside every believer. Here's the big difference between Christianity and religion. Religion, people are trying, see, religion's all about the outside of the cup, cleaning the outside of the cup, trying to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, trying to grit your teeth. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to clean myself up so I can present myself to the Lord. That's not Christianity at all. You know what that will do? If you try and live that way, you will be depressed because you're going to fail consistently. Or if you're one of these who just has this iron will, then you're going to be stuffed full of pride and you're going to say, look at me. You'd be like the Pharisees, and it's all about self-righteousness. God hates self-righteousness. So religion is all about what you can do. Christianity is coming to the place where you realize you can't do anything. And it's calling on the Lord. It's saying with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And will you cry out to him and receive him as Lord and Savior? You turn from sin and turn to the Savior. He comes into your life through the person of the Holy Spirit, and he dwells within you. He lives inside of you, and you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God. And then you can say, as you live this life, Jesus, you who live in me, live through me. There was a song that was sung years ago, and it said this, Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. So Jesus lives inside every true believer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. God wanted his people throughout the world to know the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ living in you, giving you the hope of glory. And see, when Christ lives in you, that's in a very crude way. That would be like saying, I have the goose that laid the golden eggs. So the world is trying to find golden eggs. They're trying to find the things that God gives. The Christian says, I want God. I don't seek God's hand, what he can give me. I seek his face because I want God. I want a relationship with God. And when you receive Christ, he comes in. And when he comes in, you have the creator of the universe living inside of you. And see, Jesus is the source of joy. He's the source of peace. He's the source of contentment. When you have him, you have everything because you have the source. Verse 13, we hear that quoted a lot. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We like to use it, you know, athletes sometimes, they'll put it under their eye black. They put, I think Tim Tebow did that, Philippians, Phil 4:13. People looked it up as a good thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But a lot of times we look at that verse and we think about it in terms of an athletic event or some kind of situation where I need to rise up and I need to be able to tackle this test or tackle this interview or make this sales call or whatever. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I had a friend of mine, he was trying out for the football team. This is years ago, and he was telling me, he was just a young guy, he's a seventh grader, and he was thinking, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so he kicked the ball and he could kick it well. And he's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he was using that verse to kind of build himself up. And there's nothing wrong with that, but here's the thing. The context of that verse is not to help you make a play or to pass a test. The context of the verse is in the difficult circumstances of life, you can face those and still be content. Why? Because I can do all things and I can face all things and I can experience all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. That's how Paul could be content. He had the source within him. So external things didn't matter. I mean, if things were bad, they were bad, but you can't take my joy. Why? Because when the Lord came into Paul's life, just like when he comes into your life, he comes in forever, and no one can take that away. No one can take that away. They can tell you that you can't pray in school. They can say you can't bring your Bible, you can't read your Bible, but they can't take away the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you. That's never going to go away if you're a believer in Jesus.
Isn't that great news? That no one can take away that joy that has its roots deeply in Jesus Christ. Hey, may God use this lesson in your life today. It's called The Giant of If Only, designed to help you overcome the discontentment that keeps you from the joy and the peace God wants for you. Today, you heard part one of this lesson. We'll have part two tomorrow. It's one of Pastor Jeff's seven messages in the Land of the Giants series. Our gift to you to say thanks for your special fiscal year-end gift this month to From His Heart. For 16 years, From His Heart has been broadcasting on radio and television to greater and greater sized audiences as we've grown each and every year. The last 12 months have been months of great growth, and the momentum for more is incredible. Currently, we broadcast on over 850 radio stations across the United States each day, in 182 countries on television each week, and of course, always online. We'd like to expand that into other countries, into other cities, and to other ways of technologically getting to people's hearts and homes. For your fiscal year-end gift, we'll thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's series, The Land of the Giants. It'll be available on CD, DVD, USB flash drive, or as an MP3 download, your choice. And we'll also send you the popular booklet, When You Don't Like Yourself. Both for your fiscal year-end gift today. You can call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and know that you are participating in something that is bearing tremendous fruit in the hearts of people each and every day, and you'll meet them all when you get to heaven. Thank you so much. Our time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you so very much for joining us, and we hope that you'll be here tomorrow for part two of this convicting message entitled The Giant of If Only. That's on Wednesday, when we'll again tackle the giant of discontentment by opening up God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.